When you feel a crushing sense of disappointment, to ask yourself what expectation was behind this feeling, what was the underlying expectation, so you can question it.
Hello and welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And this is episode 119, and we have got some exciting news. Today, we hit 1 million downloads, which is quite gobsmacking, and it is all thanks to you. So we wanted to say thank you very much for listening and sharing and helping make sure that we're still doing this 119 episodes in, really.
Yeah, we would. I don't know. Well, I wonder if we would just show up and do it anyway. I'm not sure we would, but it feels when we do it like we're talking just to ourselves anyway. It doesn't feel like there's, 10,000 people or whatever listening to each episode, but there is. And that's amazing. Thank you.
And it's really funny because we actually had the title for this week planned in advance, but it really neatly ties in with that. So we're going to be talking about expectations today. And so we might kind of touch back on some of the expectations or thoughts that we've had about the podcast and what we've learned from doing it, but also in the broader picture of expectations that we have, perhaps around our creative life or expectations that you have for art and what happens if these get derailed and how you use those to guide you. But first of all, tell me about your week. What have you been working on?
Well, it's been a week again of no painting, which is kind of okay because I've reached the end of a series and I've got to, recharge and get into the next one. But it's been necessitated by the fact that I've just had so much to do. And I've written on my notes tech hell, but it was tech hell with moments of achievement, which are like really good feeling. Tech hell number one was that Facebook Apple is changing the way it serves ads up to people and constantly controlling what can happen. And the latest idea they've come up with is that something to do with you having to own your own domain in order for your ads to be effective or to work at all, I'm not sure. So if you're using a third-party software like Coursecraft or Kajabi or something, any ads you point to that, I don't believe people on iPhones are going to see them. Now, nobody hold me to exactly what the fallout of this is, but it means that I needed to buy a new URL and then I needed to map it to Kajabi on the instructions of my Facebook advertising person who rang me up, got in touch and explained this was necessary. So I got the domain, but then there was, I think, 3 hours of learning and working out how to make it map to Kajabi, which I think at the end I got a little tick and a bing, and then it on my Kajabi site and it said we will be in touch. So I think, touch wood, that I've done it correctly. But that was my first tech hell. And my second tech hell was my new website has been designed for me, but there is tech stuff to come after that. I'm making all of the forms work with MailChimp. Oh, what joy it is when we learn how to use Zapier, which I've avoided.
Oh.
Zapier is a software that integrates other softwares together.
Yeah. And
it turned out to be the godsend I needed to make what I needed to have happen. But that was more learning. And then this morning, I woke up in the middle of the night and went, I literally woke up and went, 301 redirects, which won't mean anything to most people. But when you do a new website, if you want the old website not to serve up 404 messages and pages not found.
Yeah, 404 means it's when you put a URL in or you follow a link and it says this doesn't exist.
It's not found, yeah. So in order to avoid that, I have to redirect every URL on my current website to every URL on the new website. And you're not supposed to leave any hanging if you can help it, so that Google knows where to send traffic when you come to my website. So I woke up in the middle of the night and just was like, I've got to do it as well. I've got a lot of blog posts. So anyway, that you know, hell.
It is. It's. I have to say, I've kind of avoided Zapier for. It's one of those things that I think the more complicated things get, the more different steps there are in the process, the more potential there is for something to go wrong. But more importantly, the more potential there is for me not to understand where something's gone wrong. So, So you need Zapier to connect a Squarespace website with MailChimp? I thought they had an integration.
They do, but you do if you have a more complicated setup like I have. So because without being boring, because I have two different audiences and two different sets of marketing going out to different people by segments, that's not possible through the simple Squarespace MailChimp integration. And because I didn't want to change that, I don't want to change what's working for me to suit the new website. I want to keep what's working for me. But I agree with you. And that's why I made myself learn the Zapier myself and learn what's happening. So I know where it all is. But this was my best discovery. So after I panicked this morning, I found out that there is a free plugin for WordPress, which would download all those URLs for me. I pictured having to type them into a spreadsheet one by one. Or cut and paste, you know, to track them all. But you can go into your WordPress site and you can download every URL and page title, post title, so that you have what you need to do the redirect. So all I need to do now is just find somebody, you know, inexpensive to do that manual task for me once the site's up and live. So not so bad. And actually, just to touch on personality, which we talked about last week, I have learned, and I think you're the same too, that we have this emotional reaction to things, and that if I act when I'm just triggered into emotion, I'll start flailing around getting things done and things that aren't necessary. I'll be shooting off emails and hiring people. And today I noticed what was happening and just thought, no, calm down. Just write down all the problems and wait till you're a bit more calm. And then it'll become clearer what to do. And it really worked. It was much better.
All the nightmare-y things that you never thought that you were going to have to do when you first picked up a paintbrush, right?
Oh, it's like this has nothing to do. But the other thing I did quickly was I had a photo shoot I can't remember what day it was. Anyway, I had a photo shoot with a photographer that was booked for a long time and lockdown meant it couldn't happen. And I was absolutely dreading it more than I could tell you. And so much that I got a migraine afterwards because I was just dreading it. But she was a delight and she made it so painless. And we had just a good laugh doing it. And I've seen the proofs and the pictures look so much nicer than I actually look. So, you know, win. It worked.
But that's like what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, about what it's like when you get someone else involved and you let somebody else take care of their area, you know, their expertise. Yeah. It just makes such a difference. I think actually having a photographer come and do photographs, which was, I think, might even have been 4 years ago now, was probably one of the big shifts for me in terms of things turning around, because it felt too soon, like, oh, who am I to be booking? Who wants to come and take photos of me? You know, oh, this is really like cringy. I hate having my photo taken. I hate the bump in my nose. I hate my double chin. I hate my fuzzy hair. Why on earth would I put myself through this pain? But I can't tell you how nice it has been just to be able to have some decent photos that you can get your hands on when someone says, oh, we need a picture of you for this. Or you've got one and you just want to put a picture of nice picture of you on your about page and you've got a choice. So it's funny because I've got the same thing happening tomorrow, but I've got even more of an idea really about things that I want to get from that session together this time. And actually, somebody I know, and she's an award-winning brand photographer, and she's coming into the membership in June to talk to us about how to do this and how to feel comfortable in front of the camera. And so I had a little session with her just to buoy me up. So that's it's fun, but it makes such a difference. It's really worth doing.
Compared to mine.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it like you did it with a tripod and a timer, but there is a lot of running around, and you can't get those, you know, it comes down to kit, doesn't it? It's like you can't make a decent painting when you're using crummy paint. And I know that iPhones are great, and I know that some of them have portrait mode, but you can't be one side and the other side of the camera at the same time.
No, and the lenses, I mean, she was constantly saying, oh, that's not the right lens, let me get a different one.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. The lighting and the lenses, she did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
And I think next time I do it, and I will do it again, I think I'll be more conscious of guiding it, like you said. Next time I'll lead it more.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for now, but I think I'd like to do another session where I'm more, because I know what I want now. So anyway, it's very interesting.
But also, like lots of things, when you start doing it, when you start using them, you think, oh, actually, you know, I loved all those photos that I bought, but I never used that one and that one and that one. The ones that I tend to use are this type or this feel, or, you know, you know, actually knowing which ones, and you think, actually, I really need a photo of me doing X or with this kind of feel or standing or sitting or whatever it is. And you know what the gap is for next time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Brilliant. Good, good, good.
So what about you?
Preparing for that. But also, since we spoke, when we spoke last week, I was like, yeah, I've just got to gather together the photos for the new images and edit. I so underestimated how many I had to do. It was really funny. I kind of downloaded them all and I looked at this folder of like, oh, I've got just so many to do and edit. So that took me quite a long time, but it was worth it. And the knock on for that, I had a new group of work and it went out to the mailing list, and all the small ones, they sold within 2 hours, which was amazing. And then I've got some inquiries for the bigger ones and sold some older ones too off my site. So it was good that there are now paintings there, because to be honest, it was a little bit depleted previously. You went to the shop section and it was like, So it was worth doing, but it really, it kind of, I think, like when you have things like, oh, I must change this on my website, nag, nag, nag list. The last few days, so, you know, the products are up, they're done, the website is done, but I just started changing and tweaking a few things because I've just been adjusting things on my branding, and I just got, oh, that looks good. Like, I had to order postcards and stickers and things to go out with it. And I just really got in the process of doing that. And I cannot tell you, I just went through this mammoth list that did not exist. I didn't write a list for myself. I was just in the website going, oh, well, what happens if I do this? Or what happens if I change this? And shall we just tweak this? And I just did all sorts of little tech discoveries that I just didn't even know were possible on my site. I'm like, oh, that's clever. And I found a whole load of pages that I'd set up as test pages. I found some pages from when I first set it up. Really, really bad. I should have taken a screenshot of them, but I didn't. I deleted them. So I've just had a kind of website spring clean. Kitchen cupboards last week, website this week. And just little things, like somebody mentioned, do you have pay by Apple Pay? And I thought, oh, no, I wonder if I do or I don't. And actually, it was something that was literally a tick a box to set up. So that was very straightforward. But then the Apple Pay button was a really big button, and the regular add to basket button on a product page was a normal width button. And I thought, well, that looks a bit weedy and insignificant now. It's not a very good balance. So I had to work out and find code to change to make the button full width and the text a bit bigger, which, if anybody knows code, is not that complicated, but it's just knowing where to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Google is amazing. You just literally Google, what is the code for this? And you find it and you copy it in, and first two don't work. And you think, oh, well, nothing's changed. And you find another one and it works. And then you think you're a genius.
Yeah. This is what I was saying to my group this week, because we've been doing about Instagram. And I said, when you feel daunted by technology, it's actually, yes, it is a nightmare sometimes. But then when you get it to work, you go, oh, you get like a little buzz.
Yeah. And it's just that feeling of kind of momentum with it. It's, and I was just thinking that if I had written a list of everything that I did yesterday on my website, it would have felt like, ugh, you know, I really don't want to do that. God, how am I going to work all of that out? When am I going to sit and find the time to do that? What is the point of doing this anyway? But because I was kind of in the mood of just playing around with the website, it was a breeze.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it, don't get me wrong, it took a long time and I probably should have been doing something else, but you know, it felt good. And I would say that's it for a while, but I don't know. I think I've still got the bug. I think I might be back tweaking a few more things.
Well, I need somebody to work out how to style my embedded MailChimp forms. So
yeah, but you're on Squarespace now, so I can't do it.
No, I just need you to do some CSS. Just get yourself sorted out.
I'll get my book for you.
I actually found, but again, Google, I found an article that said how to style a MailChimp form in Squarespace using CSS. And it looks complicated, but the person gives you the specific code. So I figure when I've got an hour or two, I'm just going to sit there and play and see what happens. Worst case, I can take it all out again if it looks funny, but I'll learn how to eventually, it's possible.
So here's my little nerdy tip when I'm trying around with code, because I don't really understand code and I don't want to do anything that breaks my website. So in WordPress, there's a place where you can put it, quick CSS code. And if you're modifying a theme, you should have somebody set up a child theme for you, which means that when the theme refreshes, it doesn't wipe all the changes that you've made. So somebody else did that for me about, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago, if not longer. But what I do is I just have notes open or Google Doc or whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. And when I find the code, I make sure that I copy it as it was beforehand. If I'm doing anything that's in a long batch of code, I make sure I copy it how it was beforehand and title it. If I'm adding new code, I copy what I'm adding so that I know which part to delete, so I don't inadvertently delete anything that's going to make it work.
That's true in WordPress. You really do have to do that. And I always used to do the same. In Squarespace, you don't really have access to the core stuff. So it's more like you're adding stuff in and then you'll take it away if it doesn't work.
Okay.
But yeah, in WordPress, it's a nightmare as well, because you're going into pages of stuff that looks just so intimidating.
But very often, if you can see to spot, like one of the things that I did, it was just changing, instead of saying sold out or no stock, I can't remember what it was on WooCommerce, just making it say sold instead. So you just look through all the code and then you find the bit that says whatever and you just type it to whatever you want to say. Yeah. Once you know what you're looking for, it's not so bad. But honestly, I never thought I'd be doing any of that stuff.
So this sounds like on our millionth download, we've switched from art to technology. Well, in future, everybody, we shall be discussing web software, web programming, web design. Do enjoy the new podcast.
Well, there we go. We did say it was going to be about expectations, didn't we? And honest conversations. The reality, you know, this is the thing. The reality is every week we turn up and it's like, what have you been doing? It would be a false picture if we said every week, I've been having a lovely time painting and creating. That's not
what it's a series of pieces every week. No.
Yeah, it's not always what it's about. So yeah, sorry, but hopefully that was reassuring. I did also post on Instagram the photograph of my website when I was playing around and not winning, and I managed to post a photograph of myself on the homepage, which looked great, but when I looked at it on mobile, I decapitated myself. And I had a lot of lovely comments with people saying, oh my god, it's so good to know that you do that too. So anyway, sorted it out after that, but I just thought that was a little amusing moment.
I think that's actually something that people do think, is that when they see you do all this and it looks good, they think you did it all easily and you didn't feel overwhelmed. So it's good to hear that, no, it wasn't easy. And you do feel overwhelmed sometimes. And you just still do it. That's the that's the only difference between us and the people who get overwhelmed and stop, is we just keep going until it's sorted.
And also little bit by little bit. So, you know, there are people within the membership this week who are doing their website for the first time, and they're like, oh my, and I know it doesn't look this fantastic, and I know this that has a lot more work, but it's up. And I'm like, seriously, if I had kept a version of what my first website looked like, or the first version of it, start with the basics. And then look, here I am years later, tweaking around. It's been fine all of this time. Really?
My original one is in Squarespace, in my account, because I originally started on Squarespace, and it's awful. Not only is the artwork awful, but it's just a few basic pages. It's not very well written. Yeah, it's terrible. But it worked, and I sold things off it.
Yeah, exactly. And you come back and you tweak it and you adjust it and you change it. I was going to say, I no longer feel that sense of, we've spoken before about tech panic. There are other things that I have tech panic, but I'm not a website expert in the sense that if something all kind of went wrong, I would have to get help on that. But that kind of, all right, open it up, go through all the tabs, let's have a little dig around and see where we can find it. That no longer feels daunting anymore, because actually you can just open it up and have a look and see. You're not going to do anything too wrong. So that panic has gone.
Yeah, it's like a bit like maths. It's all got an answer. Mm. So somewhere in there is a reason why whatever's happening is happening.
Mm.
Even though I sometimes go, oh, this is so stupid, why is it doing that? Well, it's doing that for a reason. You just got to keep going until you find it.
Yeah, all right. All right, so what we were really going to talk about today was expectations. So that is clearly one of them. And I've written down that my biggest one at the beginning of all this journey was that in order to count as a proper artist, I have to be creating things all the time. And actually then it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, all of these other things do come into the picture of, actually, it's not just being an artist, is it? It's whatever you're working on in life. We always have this gap between what our expectations of it are going to be and very often what the reality turns out to be.
Yeah, I always think expectations are like the devil, really. Expectations are like the curse on any happiness. They really are. No, but I mean, dreams are not. Dreams are good.
Right.
Goals are good. But expectations are where we fall down, because when you expect something, you're disappointed when it doesn't happen. And most often, like, just take in ordinary life, if you expect your husband to remember it's your birthday and he doesn't, then you expected and he didn't. So there's an immediate gap there. If you were able not to expect, there would be no unhappiness that comes from that gap in what you expected and what didn't happen. If you expect, I worked with someone once who expected to make a fortune because our company was supposed to go, well, actually, this was my husband's company. It was supposed to go public and he was supposed to get, I think it was $1 million if it went public. We never took that seriously, but some people did. And they actually went out and bought things, or, you know, made plans in their head for what they would do with that $1 million. And then, of course, the IPO never happened. The company never went public and we never got $1 million. And we didn't have any expectations, so it didn't matter. Some people were crushed.
Yeah.
So I think expectations are very different from, say, dreams or goals or desires.
Yeah.
Expectations are, I'm going to get this. And I'm just waiting for when it happens. And then when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh. So imagine if we started this podcast with the expectation that within 2 years we'd have our own BBC art TV show.
Yeah.
And the BBC haven't rung yet that I know of, unless they've rung you.
We'd be tell you what has happened. I get quite a lot of funny things in my email inbox as a result. Do you get all these? Hey, we'd love to come on your podcast. Here is this person who paints fairies We're sure your audience would be really interested. I don't always forward them to you, but do you get them?
Yes, I do get ones that I just delete. I'm like, you really think I'd be interested? Well, you haven't paid very much attention then, have you? Colouring books was a good one that we both got offered. We both think your audience would love these colouring books. Do you remember that? We can send you free ones so you can talk about them to your audience. I really don't think our audience is interested in colouring books. So, wrong audience. I did the other day get offered a standing desk. I can have my own standing desk as long as I talk about it on social media.
Okay. Are you going to get one?
No. So just clutter up the space. I don't need one.
No, but you're right. But I think even this, like if we'd said, hey, guess what? Let's start a podcast and we want it to get to, well, we'd have just been picking a figure out of the air because we didn't have a clue when we started. Like, I don't even know now, to be honest. Does a million mean that it's any more special than lots of other podcasts? I honestly haven't got a clue.
No, because a lot of it depends on audience size, doesn't it? Like, I did listen till it went up in flames to a podcast called Reply All, which was really popular. And it had 4 million downloads a week. Yeah.
Wow.
We have a million in 2 years. However, from what I can tell by looking at podcast stats, we're between the top 5% and top 10% of all podcasts. So it's one of those things where most podcasts don't get hardly any listeners.
Yeah.
And then there's a group in that top 10% that is somewhere between where we are and, you know, a reasonable amount. And then there's the few big podcasts which just get millions of downloads a week. Yeah. And so I do think it's quite good when you think about the size of an audience for art is very different to Reply All was like internet news show, you know,
could have been anyone.
Investigative internet shows. Yeah. So anyone who likes internet, anyone who lives on the internet is interested in that. Whereas we're very specific, aren't we? And I wish we could know. I'd love to know what other art podcasts do, just so we could know where we fit into that. But you can't find that out, I don't think.
But this is the thing, isn't it? In a way, it doesn't really matter. So we're kind of celebrating today, and we might have some champagne bubble soundtrack in there. But as it's 10 o'clock in the morning, it's not real.
It'd be inappropriate.
But, you know, we're sort of celebrating because it's a little bit of a milestone. But like we said at the beginning, in a way, it doesn't really make any difference. So I think this is maybe the thing with expectations, is you've got to be a little bit careful about being fixed on the outcome. It's like, you know, somebody said to me about the painting sales. They said, you know, oh, how are they going? That's really good. And I said, yeah, well, in a way, if I'm honest, I would have liked to have sold one or two more medium-sized ones by now. And she said to me, but how many did you have left from the last time that you had them? And I say, oh, well, not very many, one or two. And she said, yeah. And when was that? Well, you know, last year, middle of last year. You know, honestly, that's fine. I know that the bigger ones take a little bit longer. Not so many people have that budget or the space in their home. So where had I got this idea that was an expectation, wasn't it?
Yes.
So and the difference between that and using something as an intention, I suppose the difference is that there's not so much that I can necessarily do to actually make it happen. Is there? What's the difference?
I think the difference is an intention is you're going to go and do the work. Mm. My intention is to sell out on day one, and therefore I'm going to da 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 da. I think that's fine, but my expectation is a different thing. So my expectation is that will happen. In some ways, it could stop you working as hard, but in your case, it wouldn't. In your case, I know it wouldn't. But I'm always aware of that. It's pernicious. I can feel it because I'm going to put out some small paintings. And I always am trying to fight this, like, don't expect, because you only can come from, I mean, I suppose sometimes your expectations are met. Sometimes, you know, what you thought happened would happen. And then, okay, everything's fine until the next expectation when it all goes to pot again, because it doesn't turn out. Because our expectations are our mental model of an imaginary world, which is just peopled with imaginary people in our mind and imaginary things. And real people have a not really annoying tendency of doing their own thing, which has nothing to do with what we want.
Don't very dare they.
No, so they might not want the big painting just at the moment when you are selling one. And that's incredibly inconsiderate. But I think that's the difference. Expectation is almost bring it on. Like, I'm here, I'm waiting for what's mine to happen. It's due to me. And intention is, right, I'm going to go out and make sure these paintings get seen.
Yeah, and the reality was I probably didn't do a lot in advance. I had a video that I wanted to make that hasn't happened yet. It will do at some point. So I'm quite happy always. Like, I always have a thing of different outcomes. Like, so wouldn't it be good if? So that, I suppose that was, and I hadn't actually thought, but wouldn't it be good if? Well, one of them was that all the little ones go, which they did. So great. But look how easily that part was derailed by this other thought that just jumped up so quickly. And yet then I know the logical side of me goes, but you know that the longer ones take this. But it's just really interesting how it can come in to derail you. And I think where it comes back to intention is, okay, so now what? So now what? Does it matter? Does it mean that I'm going to go away and cry and never paint a big painting again? Does it mean that I love that big one any less? No, I still think I had a lovely email from somebody who said, I think this is the best work that you've ever done, which is, that's really nice. And I'm still excited about it. And I will still at some point put together that video, talk about them on Instagram, because I still like it. Doesn't actually make any difference at the end of the day.
I know. And can I just want to reverse beep 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 just a second and say, you only put them out a couple of days ago, and you're talking about it as though you've already been consigned to keep it, but that's the kind of purchase that takes a little bit longer.
It is,
and you won't be keeping it, I'm sure, and at some point in a week, in a day, in a month, it's going to be gone. And you'll remember, oh, do you remember when I felt like. So the expectation was really that it would happen instantly.
Which is nonsense.
Which is nonsense with a big piece like that, unless we're like Sean Scully or someone who everyone's waiting for this big release of new things and collectors are snapping them up as investments. Otherwise, it's nuts. The people who, the impulse type purchases did happen. Within 2 hours, you had sold everything that people buy as a complete impulse. Gone. You didn't even have time to wave them goodbye. They're gone. So it's funny. I find it funny when you were talking that, like, well, I still love it. It's like, hang on, it's only just gone on the website.
But that's what I'm saying. That you know, when you said this is pernicious, I think it's really interesting that it is, and it is something that you just still have to always just be careful to just catch yourself out on. But I think this, there's a lot of talk about I was going to say about intention and desire boards and all of that kind of thing, and I know from experience that that can make a huge difference, but it comes back to where, how you feel about it and where you are about it emotionally. And I think what I've noticed about this that maybe is different is there may have been an expectation that was or wasn't unrealistic. I don't think it really matters. I don't feel at all derailed, whereas perhaps in the past, if I'd created an expectation for myself, I would have felt derailed by it.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's important. So why do I not feel derailed by it? I don't feel derailed by it because I now have more experience. I can look back, I can see, I know these things take longer. You just keep going, don't you? So
I think that's experience. Yes, it's experience.
It is.
I just was looking up while you were talking quotes about expectation, and expectation is the root of all heartache. William Shakespeare.
So he knew a few things, didn't he?
Back in the 1600s he knew. So yeah, but where does it come from? Where does that come from for you, that expect, and I'm saying for you because we're talking about you, but for us, where do we get these ideas from? Because I think that's interesting, whether we're thinking about business or personal. You know, there'll be people who are married to someone who never remembers their anniversary. I always bring that up. I never remember anniversaries, so maybe that's why it's on my mind. But for some people, that's really important. Their partner never remembers, never celebrates it, and yet every year they wait and expect that this will be the year that all the grumbling pays off, and this year they'll remember, and they don't. And then it's a source of constant upset. And yet that partner might be doing all sorts of wonderful and lovely and kind things as well, except this is just not what they're good at. And that expectation blocks you from seeing all of the other good stuff.
That's just a mismatch between what you think is important and what the other person thinks is important and what you're making it mean, isn't it? Because the reason you're upset is, if they don't remember my anniversary, that means they don't value the marriage, they don't value me, blah, 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 which is
nonsense.
Not true.
So is it the same with paintings? If they don't buy my big painting on day one, it means...
Mm-hmm. There isn't an audience for big paintings. It means no one likes my work. I don't know, whatever. But yes, exactly. And as soon as you start saying them out loud, you think, well, that's nonsense. I think another thing is that it comes from a sense of hope, perhaps, and wanting things to change. So if you go back to your anniversary thing, just because you hope that something will change isn't enough to make it change. And I think, you know, in that situation, you'd have to say, look, I know anniversary perhaps isn't important to you, but for me, it feels a really special thing because my parents always celebrated it. So therefore, I want to make it meaningful. If I don't expect you to remember, that's fine, but I would like to have a way to celebrate it together each year. I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah, we've gone into, first we were on tech, now we're on marriage counselling.
But I have to say, in my marriage, neither of us do anything to celebrate our anniversary. It's appalling. So we can't do any, I can't talk about that one at all. But the point is, it's about where you fit with other people and what, just this idea of hope. And I think one of the things that's difficult about art is that, you know, you talk about it a lot more as this comparisonitis thing. We do see people and, you know, we do. We want to celebrate when something good happens. You know, there's an element of spin on it, probably.
Yeah.
I just think it's also...
When you see someone sell a giant painting, first of all, you don't know if it was just on that release at that second or if they sold it after 3 weeks of it being out or 3 months. And secondly, often they've got some other platform which is giving them access to a different audience mm-hmm. for their work than mm-hmm. we have. And therefore, those sales happen because they've got that audience. There's all sorts of things, isn't there?
Yeah. So I think it's when you're making something mean something that's a problem, and also when you're judging it on what somebody else is doing. And I think therefore what's helped this time is, as you say, that I now have a backlog of experience. So, you know, I have two different ways that I track sales. So I have paintings sold by year and then the paintings created by year, and then when they sell I actually change the color code of them, so I can but what it means is, like, because if I open up a spreadsheet and it says sold on June, sold on May, sold in November, when it was, those are all months and dates that I can't see at a glance. I can't read all of those. Whereas if I open up a painting and they've all gone from green to, open up a spreadsheet and they've gone from green to red, like from available to sold.
Brilliant. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. I was just smiling because I wish I was like that. I was listening to an episode of the Messy Studio podcast, and Rebecca Crowell was saying she's so badly organized that she has painting she's named twice. She's used the same name twice. I've done that.
Yeah.
And I've got all these new paintings and they are on my new website. So I do have a record of them somewhere, but then I haven't logged them or anything. And I think it's good that you do, and I think I should, because you do have that record then to remind you that, yes, most things I make, I sell.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I mentioned this the other week, but I had a painting style which was one of my very favorites, and I've had it nearly 3 years.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe it was still there. And because it was my favorite, and finally somebody loved it and bought it.
Yeah.
So that this idea of expectations of that person coming at that time, that's yeah. another crazy expectation, because that person might not rock up until 3 years later, and yeah. they'll be so happy when they find it still there, just waiting for them.
Yeah, I think it is a really interesting thing about how long. And also, you know, you think about it as you as a buyer. So like we're having the kitchen painted at the moment. I have thought about doing that for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the decorator who's going, come on, missus, get on and make your mind up, because I want to come in today. He's been waiting. I mean, I know he hasn't been waiting 3 years because he's yeah. been doing other things. But the point is, we do it as well as buyers. You know, we think, oh, that would be a good idea. And then the idea comes back again and you think, oh, yeah, I'd quite like to do that. And then the idea goes away and then it comes back again. It goes in reverse as well. It just takes sometimes. It just, you know, takes a little bit of time.
And it takes some time for a person who loves it to think, how am I going to bring this up that I want to spend, you know, what is it, £2,700 for the biggest one? I want to spend that much. Sorry?
I don't think it's that much.
Isn't it? I thought it was. Okay, whatever it is, sorry, £2,000 or whatever. I want to spend £2,000 on a painting. I'm going to have to bring this up. So I'm going to have to get the wine out and I'm going to have to make a really nice dinner. Or I'm going to have to buy it, put it on the wall and then go, oh, that old thing.
That's a bit hot. You can't hide it in the wardrobe, can you? But also, it's just important that it's the right one. And I think that's the interesting thing when when your work is changing a little bit. You know, maybe I'm sure there are people who liked the previous work I did, and this time round were like, oh, they're all a bit different.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, then I think they're still very you.
Yeah.
So but yeah, possibly that does happen, doesn't it? But then there'll be new people, as we know, who'll see it, who wouldn't have liked older work, who do yeah. like that because it's for them.
Yeah. So what are we saying here then? Just be careful about checking in when you have a sense of expectation about something, whether it is helping you in terms of having clear intentions that help you move towards something. Or, like I say, I'd try to have this thing about whatever comes as an outcome. I'd try to have a good side, an upside for every possible alternative. That and also helps me. So if I don't have a big painting to sell this week, that means I don't have to organise shipping it. Because that's another artist's favourite. That's right up top of the list of things to do after tech gremlins is
packing
and shipping.
The other thing I think I'm saying is, when you feel, so just taking it from another angle, when you feel a crushing sense of disappointment, to ask yourself, what expectation was behind this feeling? What was the underlying expectation? So you can question it, because we've talked about that a little bit. But yeah. So in the case of a marriage, what was the expectation? And is it reasonable, given what I know about this person? In the case of selling paintings, what was the expectation? Is that reasonable? Is that the way I know it's gone in the past? Or has it gone in the past in a different way? Has it gone? Have paintings sold over a period of a few months? And if that's the case, am I on track? Yes. So you can just recognize, because sometimes you were very aware of your expectation, but sometimes we're not aware that that's what's lying beneath this feeling of disappointment that we've got.
I think it's, I tell you where I think that's a little bit difficult. And I have conversations with people, perhaps when they are crushing disappointments quite heavy, isn't it? I was trying to think, oh gosh, when was the last time I felt that yeah. about anything?
Or even just a minor disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think often we have that. We often have a feeling, and it's not like we don't even register it as a disappointment, but we might have something where we feel, oh, I'm falling a bit short on that, or things aren't quite going how I want. And I know that this comes up a couple of this comes up a few times, that people say, well, I'm a bit disappointed in this. And it might be, I don't know, my Instagram isn't growing as quick as I want, or, you know, I haven't sold anything in the last 2 months, or something along those lines. And then I think you do have to be careful to say, okay, well, what have you been doing in order to help that along?
Because
that's often
is,
yeah,
it causes often inaction, I think.
Yes.
And so recognizing it, there's a really, it's a, not an art example, but the Byron Katie, I don't know what to call a spiritual person, whatever. Yeah. She had a great example. When she was a mother of young children, she said that she got so angry about socks being on the floor constantly and she'd have to pick them up. And nobody else in this house picks up socks except me. And then she realized that her expectation was that everyone should care about socks on the floor as much as she did. But they didn't. They would quite happily live in a house with socks all over the floor. And once she realized that and just picked the socks up, because it was her that wanted them picked up, not them, she stopped being angry and resentful because the expectation that they would care was gone.
Yeah.
And I think that is that comes back to what we're saying. What was your expectation for your Instagram following? What did you think was going, you know, what did you assume was going to happen? And then what is happening? There's a gap between those two things. First of all, it's recognizing that you had an expectation. And then it's like you say, thinking, well, what could I do then to close that gap? I think I had expectations for this website, which were unreasonable given what had been discussed. So it's not the web developer's fault at all. I had an expectation that all my MailChimp forms would be made to work before I got the website, because in past projects with web developers, that's happened. But that's when I was working with web developers whose job was to develop a website. In this case, I was working with a designer. And so initially, my first thought was, I was expecting, and then expecting again. And then I thought, did I ever ask that? Did we ever discuss that? Was that ever part of anything written down? No. So my expectation there, I won't say bit me in the backside, because I'm thrilled with my website and I would recommend the lady to anyone, but it's caused me some extra work that had I not had expectations, I would have been prepared for.
Yeah.
So it's an expectation is also assumption, isn't it? My assumption is if I get on Instagram, I'm going to grow at, I don't know, 500 people a month. And by next July, I'll be at this number. And then when you're not, this is no good.
But I think it comes down to us sometimes as busy people that when something perhaps falls short a little bit, it's like, oh, now there's another thing I've got to do, or what do you mean that I've got to do more, or I've got to do extra. And that's maybe where the frustration comes in. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and then she said something about, oh yeah, and I have been on Instagram, and you know, I was doing a bit of a challenge where I posted every day and my followers have more than doubled. And it's like, well, you know, that's, you know, if you do it, it's, but I think that sometimes there's this gap. There's a gap between, and this is maybe an important part of it. There's a gap between what you do and where it starts and where some of the results come through. And it's difficult to hold your faith, perhaps, through that gap. So, you know, if we look at the graph of the growth for the podcast, it's like almost anything else that I have kind of created. The general increase is up, but it has ups and downs and peaks and troughs and a big dip where we stop for Christmas and nothing happens. And, you know, but it's on a general overview. And I think that that's the really important thing, is just like, in general, how is this going? Is this going in a good direction?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a day, isn't it? Just a day.
If you think about your release of those series of small paintings, say 7 years ago, you wouldn't have sold them all out in 2 hours from your website. So now that's just happened and you just take that part for granted. Oh, of course that happened. Now I'm onto this bigger thing. But yeah, if you could see that, it would be the same trajectory. But like you say, we have down years I had a year last year where I didn't put hardly anything up for sale except some pieces on paper. So from income from art last year would be a dip. But if I look at it from, 2000 and whenever it was, I can't remember when it was, 2012 when I started again to now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so much of a big, nice lift up.
Perspective, as always, sense of perspective, easier said, hard to do when you're right in the middle of it sometimes. But worth celebrating. I'm not sure that was a particularly cheerful episode.
I think it was good.
I have to say, I really enjoyed listening back to last week's. But we were going to do, we did have some kind of fun ideas for we were going to go back and share all our favourite episodes and the funniest outtakes. And then we both agreed that neither of us could remember. So we can't do that. But what maybe we should say is, if you are new to listening to the podcast, it probably is worth scrolling back. And if you want to, maybe if you go back even right to the beginning one, have you listened to the first one or the second one again recently? Perhaps how uncomfortable and awkward do we maybe sound in that?
I can't bear listening because I'm sure that it's terrible.
So that's like finding my old page of my first website page, as you say, with certain paintings on it, and you just think, oh dear. But if you don't have that stage, you don't get what comes after, do you? So you just keep building on it. Lovely. Right, so do you have a what's inspired this week or in your tech gremlins?
I do. I have a couple of nice things this week. First of all, I've been meaning to do this and I keep forgetting, but I'm thankful every day to everybody who has sent me collage materials in the post. I asked for that a while ago and I've had some lovely packages, and often I don't have a mailing address or a name, or I do, but then I've put the piece of paper down and I've forgotten where I've put it because my studio's a nightmare mess. And so I haven't said thank you to everybody that sent me collage pieces, but it's been amazing. The postman says I'm the only person who gets nice post because I get these packages. At first he said, why are you spending all this money, joking with me? Like, you should be ordering all this stuff. And I said, I'm not, they're all presents. So now he comes and he says, you got another present. So thank you, everybody. It's lovely. And people send the most amazing things that I wouldn't have ever had in my collage collection, but now I do. My problem now is started to be where I put it all. But really, thank you, thank you, thank you. I so appreciate every single piece of paper that came my way.
You'll have to get that lovely colour collage material by colour system that Megan Woodard Johnson has.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not going to suit you, is it? Let's be real. Somebody's just going to go in a big box, aren't they?
I know. Somebody did suggest pizza boxes, and that sounds like a nice solution. So you buy unused pizza boxes, obviously, you don't use those with bits of cheese in, and then they can stack up in a pile, and that would work on the end of my long table. So I might look into that. But at the moment,
they're very flappy.
Don't they click in? Don't they slip in?
Yeah, but when they're open,
you've got a big space, you're right. Lid. Anyway, so that's a problem for another day, which we'll never get solved, right. Let's be honest. The second thing is, so in my new teetotal life, I've found pleasure in reading again in the evenings, which I wasn't doing for some reason, probably because I was too tired. And the book, I'm reading a book at the moment, which I'm sure is it's not a new book, and I'm sure lots of people have already read it, but I really recommend it. It's called Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers. And it was actually it says it was long listed for the Women's Prize for Fiction 2021. So maybe that prize hasn't been given out yet. Absolutely brilliant book. It begins with, so it's a novel, and it begins with, I think it's set in the 50s, 40s or 50s, and a young woman who was in a hospital run by nuns as a child or as a teenager, now grown up with a daughter. She comes to a newspaper and says, my daughter is a virgin birth. I conceived her while I was in this hospital surrounded by nuns, so I know there was no man involved. And then the story goes from there. This journalist starts to investigate, and all sorts of personal interactions happen between her and the family. And I haven't found out yet what's going on, but really, really cool book. And one of those literary books that's beautifully written in a way that's really easy to read.
Yeah, because lovely.
I can't be doing with big, heavy duty.
No.
I feel responsible to read this book.
And it's a difficult balance to find, isn't it? You know, I've finished reading one, and then the last week I've been reading a kind of airporty type book. I think my daughter and I chose it in Smith's at the beginning of the last lockdown. You know, it's got a sticker on the front. You know, yeah,
that's a really good thing though sometimes.
And I mean, it was a good page turny book, but it was also, you know, quite predictable and you know a bit bleh. So I'm looking for something a little bit. I think I'm going to start a Jeanette Winterson now, but that sounds good.
I like it. Go.
Yeah, good.
Some of those books feel a bit like an Ed Sheeran album. It's like one song sounds good on the radio, but if you listen to all of it, you feel a bit like
it's a little bit like that. Actually, I have to say it really hit the mark. It was a little bit of light, and you know that thing where you think, oh, I've got that to get back to, that's really nice, but yeah, I don't want it. It's a bit like, you know, eating certain kinds of food, you know, it's like, well, that was really good, it hit the mark, but I don't want another one, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So okay, I'm just going to say, actually, you guys were really, those of you on Instagram, I wasn't sure what to do. I had to get new cards printed. I suddenly realized I didn't have any, and I wanted to get some stickers for these boxes for the small works. So I thought, right, get yourself together. And did a bit of a poll on Instagram, and actually decided to have two different cards. But thank you for everybody who gave me feedback for that, because it was really, really helpful. But also super impressed again with printed.com. This is not a promotion, but I first used them a while ago, and because I wanted uncoated card stock, really nice weight card stock, so that when I had cards I could write on them, so they could be multi-purpose use for thank you cards and for shows and things. And so I was really pleased with them last time, so I went with them again. I ordered them on Monday afternoon, and they were here by Wednesday morning.
Oh, that's
super impressed.
Because Marianne has designed me a thank you card for printed.com for their size. And I was just thinking as you were talking, oh, I wonder how long it's going to take me to get those cards, because when these paintings go up for sale, hopefully I'll need some thank you cards. 2 days is good. I can get
might be a little bit longer getting up to Yorkshire. I don't know where they're based and whether they're slightly quicker getting to London, but yeah, I was really impressed, and they look lovely, and I think I might now have a sticker addiction because I can see that they are going to be really fun to use and go on all sorts of packaging and wrapping and everything. So yeah, that was really good. So that was fun. So we're just going to finish this week with a huge, huge, huge thank you for listening and sharing. And we're still here and we'll still keep going. And as long as we can think of something to talk about, we will still show up for you every week. And I would just like to say, I am going to be opening up Connected Artists again towards the end of May. But I've also been dreaming up a couple of fun things to do in advance of that. So if you're interested in finding out some more about it, hop over to my website, have a little browse of the new paintings while you're there, alicesheridan.com. But if you go to the tab at the top, or if you go to alicesheridan.com/artists, you'll see that there's a button there at the moment that will take you to where you can get on the specific wait list just to find out about Connected Artists. So if you're interested in finding out what we do in the membership, how it can support you, and whether it should be part of your artist's life for the next few months, do hop over and make sure that you add your name there, and you will hear all about it. Until then, goodbye, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations that will feed your soul. Hang on, dog barking outside.
Somebody's got a new dog near me. There's an alien bark. I know all the dogs' barks, but there's a new one.
So you've got an alien bark. I have got, I don't know if you can see it, it's a canvas covered in a bit of tinfoil that I was using as a reflector panel for photographs. Oh. real life.
That's very technical of you, though, to have come up with your own way of...
Very technical. Should possibly buy a fancy thing, but, you know, when a bit of tinfoil does the trick, apart from when it rattles in the wind.